Today, welcome to the Promised Land. My name is Robin Steele. I'm the pastor here, or one of the pastors here. Last week, I was out on a little trip with my family, and Pastor Emilio spoke and did a wonderful job. He kicked off our series that we're in right now about relationships, and I watched it online. And if you ever miss a message, you can go to our website. You can watch archived version of our services. So if you miss one, we also have a podcast that you can watch as well. So thank you for being here today. I've seen so many guests with us today over our three services. This is our third one, and we always love having new faces here at Promised Land. So if you're new to our church, we welcome you. We're glad to have you. Make yourself at home. In fact, I met a family from Norway that's here today. They get the prize for being the longest commute to church today. They're on vacation at Canyon Lake, and so they found us online. And here you are. So let's welcome them. Let's clap for them and welcome them. Thank you for coming. I said, it's cold, right? Is it really cold in Norway now? She said, yeah, it's winter there. I said, well, it's actually winter here too, but this is it. This is as good as it gets. So relationships, that's what we're talking about in February. I know you guys celebrated Valentine's Day on Friday, and today we want to talk about relationships. And last week when Pastor Emilio was speaking, he really focused on being single and the season of singleness that God gives to us and preparing you for relationships and how you live in your single season affects so many things, not just that season, but the next one. So if you're single and you missed that, please go back and get it. And today I want to talk about relationships, marriage in particular. And if you're not married yet, please get this, get what I'm saying today. I know we have a lot of Texas State students in here, young folks, young adults that are single. If you can grasp what I'm telling you today before you get married, it's going to help out so much in your relationship. But I do want to throw something out there to you singles. I've got some Christian pickup lines. Take notes. These are good. These are really good. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready? Rick's ready. He got his pen ready. He's got his pencil. He's ready. So last night, I was reading the book of Numbers and realized that I didn't have yours. Proverbs said that whoever gives an honest answer... Oh, man, I totally blew that one. Sorry. Good thing I'm off the market, okay? So, do you want to hear that one, or should I just skip it? Proverbs said that whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. So, feel free to shower me with honesty. That's a little intense there. Is your name Faith? Because you're the substance of things I've hoped for. Come on. That's a good one right there. You might actually want to use that one. Okay. Let's go to the Bible. How about that? Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, the second chapter and the 15th verse. This whole book is a book of love. And if you've never read this book of Song of Solomon, it is applicable to human relationships, but it is also a beautiful allegory of our relationship to God. And it's a very intimate book, and it's got some things in it that'll make you blush. It is really a great book to read. This is what it says: catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. Just beautiful language talking about those foxes. You know, foxes are known to be sneaky and to kill things that we don't want killed and to eat things that we don't want destroyed. And right here, he's saying, there's little foxes that are coming into your vineyard of love, your relationship, your marriage, and they are ruining the production of fruits. So ultimately, the grapes are gone. The grapevines are about to produce. They're blossoming. But these little foxes come in, and they destroy the whole vineyard. Basically, what God's saying here is that you and I have been made stewards over relationships. And these relationships are like vineyards. And the vineyards of love, and here we are to be a manager, to be a steward over it. We have to watch out for foxes that come in and take things away. Jesus said it like this, that the devil's a fox. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil wants to destroy our relationships, our marriages, our friendships, anything that's good. The devil wants to destroy it. But Jesus says, that's okay, don't worry. I've come that you may have life. And not just any life, but abundant life. And so we want to have this series where we're talking about a better relationship starts with what?
Me.
Because I've been pastoring here in this church for 17 years. And June will be 17 years now. And I can tell you, I've counseled so many couples, so many situations. And not one time in 17 years when they've come in for counseling have I ever heard anyone say, the problem with my marriage is me. No one's ever said that. Because our inclination is that if they would just change, if they would change, they don't understand me. They don't get it. They're doing things wrong. And really, I am excited about the idea of people in Promised Land owning it and saying, if I want a better relationship, then I need to be healthy with God first. And then a relationship is possible. Gary Thomas is an author, and he wrote a book called Sacred Marriage. Great book. In it, he says, we have misdefined marriage. Marriage does not make us happy, or it's not supposed to make us happy. It is to make us holy. Isn't that a different idea from culture? Culture is saying it's all about being happy and content, being married happily ever after. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God created marriage, and he did it very clearly and distinctly in the book of Genesis for man and woman to come together for life and a covenant, and that covenant would help each other, that they would help each other become more like God. That's what holiness is, when we become like God. So when you get married, it's like you've been given a full-length mirror. And that's really what the relationship of marriage is all about. You start seeing yourself. And that's not the natural inclination. We think it's the other person. And we have this idea. We have all these movies that we've watched and books that we've read and other people we've seen. And we live happily ever after. And then we get married and we don't live happily ever after. And then we start thinking, maybe I married the wrong person. Maybe I should have found my soulmate, or I picked the wrong person, and that's the reason why I'm having difficulty in my marriage. And that's not the reason why we have a difficulty. You want to know why? The reason is because you've married a human. That's the problem with your marriage, is that you've married another person. And just because two people trying to live together and grow one another is so tempting to look outwardly instead. So we don't want to just drift in our relationship. We don't want to just be apathetic or lazy. In fact, I think the number one problem or risk in relationships today are not, you know, some beautiful man or woman coming and stealing our spouse. I think it's being apathetic. I think it's being lazy. I think it's us just thinking we're on cruise control, and since we got married and we're in church, everything's going to be okay. And that's where the fox comes in and begins to eat away. So I would love for you to take out your notes. We gave you some notes. If you want to take those out and follow along with me, here's the first place that the fox wants to destroy in your relationship, in your vineyard of love. It's this: my admiration. My admiration. Now that seems like a kind of a boring word when we're talking about love. But this is the word that songs are written about, poems are written about. This is the electricity in a relationship. This is my, I admire you. I am drawn to you. I'm physically attracted to you. This is affection. This is infatuation. And the fox wants to destroy that. The fox wants to destroy your admiration for each other. And it's really easy to admire someone when you don't live with them. But then once you move in and you can't get away, I don't admire you as much anymore because you don't put your laundry up. I don't admire you anymore because you don't load the dishwasher. I don't know about you and your household, but we have this issue in our household with dishes in the sink not being transferred from the sink to the dishwasher. You rinse them out, you basically clean them, and then you put them in the dishwasher, and you fill it up just right. But for some reason, if anything is left in the sink, this one right here, this is my wife. Woo! I'm telling you what. No admiration. Your admiration is gone. And or maybe it's the toilet seat being left up or whatever. Or, you know, those things are kind of, yeah, you know, they're definitely something that people fight over and they start disagreeing with about. But maybe it's my admiration for you is gone because you spend all the money. Oh, now, better be careful whoever's giggling over there because that's dangerous. That's where it gets serious, right? And really, it's not the things. It's not the socks or the laundry or the dishes or the money or whatever. It's the words we use with each other that become so toxic and painful and ugly. And that's the fox that steals admiration, is it's the language that we use against each other. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 29th verse says, don't use foul or abusive language. Now, if you think that's just cursing, you're missing the point. Yes, you don't want to be crude and rude and use profanity, but it's more than that. It's vile words. It's mean. It's hateful. It's buttons that we push. And the longer that we're married, we know where those buttons are, and we can say words that will trigger emotions in our spouse and our loved ones. The Bible says don't do that. Do not use foul or abusive language. Don't push buttons. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let your words build people up instead of tearing them down. And really the issue is our disagreements. So many of us do not have a healthy model for disagreeing with one another. We've seen our parents fail at it. We've seen other people fail at it. And so we just start mimicking those models. And we have two extremes. We either lash out and are mean and harsh and cruel and too verbal. Or the flip side of it, we don't do anything. We have the silent treatment, the seething, soaking in it, fuming over it. And there's some in this camp. There's some in this camp. There's some that kind of flip back and forth. But the Bible is teaching us that that's a fox. The way we use our words or maybe withhold our words is damaging to our vineyard. Proverbs 12 and 18 says some people make cutting remarks. Those are the painful ones. But the words of the wise bring healing. Look at this, Proverbs 18, 21. The tongue, that's your words, can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The man, look at this. This is the next sentence. This is a communication sentence next to a marriage sentence. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure and receives favor from the Lord. So Marriage is a godly thing. It's something that God gave us. But he's also saying that the way we talk to and communicate with each other is so important. And you may try to fix things and tweak things and do all this, but if we're still using words that are harmful and hurtful to each other, it's not going to get any better. So look at this statement right here. Your marriage will be no better than your words. Your relationships will be no better than your words. Pick your words wisely. In fact, I want us to all do an evaluation of our communication over the next couple weeks. How do you talk to one another? What are you saying in order to get your point across? Are you listening first and then speaking second? Are you truly listening? Listening and words are so, so important. Your marriage is only going to be as good as the words that you use. So here are some ways that we can catch the fox for our admiration. This is going to help build admiration. This is going to help build the vineyard of love. First thing, compliment the traits you admire. Compliment the traits you admire. Find things that you like about the person that you love and talk to them about that. If you need to make a list, make a list. Write it down. Be intentional about it. Speak life-giving words over your spouse. Life-giving words, not hateful words, not mean words, but compliment the traits you admire. Speak life-giving words. And then create a safe place to speak your heart. Counseling has had such a negative connotation, but counseling is so important. Don't ever be ashamed to go to counseling. Be proud of it. We're going to counseling. We need it. We're going. I want to redefine that and just set that culture that we all need a place to go that's safe, that you can share your heart in a safe place. There's pastors here at Promised Land that will meet with you. I have a meeting set up this week with somebody I'm going to talk to. We have a professional counselor that meets with people here on Saturdays and Sundays. If you'd like to sit down with a professional counselor at our church and talk to them, there's several different ways you can do this, but talk it out in a safe place. Here's another thing. If you know you have to talk about something that's controversial or challenging, I want to encourage you to do it at a time of the day or time of the week or time of the month, whatever, that you know is going to be most helpful. Erica and I struggle with our communication about money. And I don't know if we're the only ones in here, but we struggle with talking about money. And we just realized that we have different gifts. And if you ever go through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, he says, you know, every marriage has a nerd and a free spirit. And the nerd's over there with the budget, figuring it all out, getting it all lined out, and has charts and graphs and all that figured out. And the free spirit's over there. Let's buy this. Let's go out to eat. Let's go on vacation. Let's do all this stuff. And those two have to be living in covenant together with one another. And I'm the nerd, and she's the free spirit. And we found out that we have to have conversations on a regular basis about our finances. Not that there's any crisis or anything like that, but we have to talk about it. And we realized that talking about it is not best at night when we're tired and we want to be doing something else besides talking about money. We're exhausted. Another thing is we don't ever talk about money when we're opening the mail. We realize that we opened that PEC bill and we forgot to make the payment and now we owe $20 late fee. That's not the time to start talking about the budget, is it? It gets rough. It gets rough. So we start talking about it in the morning on Mondays. We get everything settled, situated. I go over the budget. I look at her. We talk about it. And tomorrow morning, we got a date. Okay? We're going to talk about that money. Here's another thing the fox goes after. The fox goes after my heart to cherish. My heart to cherish. Now, when we do wedding vows, every wedding where the pastor is reading you the vows or you're quoting it back to the pastor, we say, will you vow to love and to cherish? And it's so funny, you know, women are so smart and brilliant. I'll do it, and they repeat it back perfectly every time. And the guys, I have to repeat it over and over, and they're stumbling, they're nervous and everything. And so finally we get to that part, do you love and cherish? Yes. But here's the deal. Most of us have no idea what cherish means. Right? Just cherish. I'm going to cherish you. What does that mean? This is really a beautiful concept that we sort of lost over the last few decades, or maybe even centuries. But I cherish you, or I will cherish you, means I will keep you warm. I will keep you warm. Life can be so cold, right? Life can be like Norway. Life is cold. Erica and I and the family, the boys just went on a ski trip. And some of you that follow us on social media may have seen a post that we posted on one of those days where we were at the top of the mountain and it was 7 degrees and the wind was blowing sideways. It was a legitimate blizzard. You couldn't see but maybe 50 feet ahead. And we thought to ourselves, why are we here? That's what we thought ourselves. So what do? We get down, warm up, get some hot chocolate, wait for everything to settle down, went back out. But life can be like that. Life can be like, why am I here? What am I doing? Why is this happening to me? So cold. Life can be so painful, so cold. So, like, you can do everything just right, and life can just be so brutally cold to you. But blizzard, you need people in your life to warm you. And obviously, moms warm you. Moms are the best warmers. They hug you. They cook for you. They make you soup. They hang out with you. There's some warming going on right there. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for family, for friends. Sometimes we need those people to gather around us. When you're at a marriage, when you make a vow in marriage, what you're saying is, I vow to warm you for the rest of our life. It's not going to be an accident. It's not going to be haphazardly. We're going to intentionally warm each other through every phase of life. Isn't that beautiful? But how often do we allow that heart to cherish to go away? The fox comes in and begins to eat away at the vineyard, and we quit cherishing each other and become mean, cold-hearted, and that heart of selfishness sets in. Galatians 5:13 says, for you have been called to live in freedom. That's wonderful. That's warm. My brothers and sisters, but don't use that freedom to simply satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Serving one another in love is warming other people, using what you have been given and giving it out to other people. Here's some ways we can do that. Number one, know their love language. Have you ever heard of the love language concept? There's a book by Gary Chapman wrote a couple decades ago. It's still, even though it's over 20 years old, the Five Love Languages book by Gary Chapman is still on the top five Christian books sold this week. It's incredible. Go get it if this is new to you. I'm sure it's in Norwegian as well. If y'all haven't seen it, the Five Love Languages, you got it? Yeah. So he has this principle that there's basically five different ways that you and I express love to one another, and there are language. And some of you have one, some of you have a different one, some of you may have half and half or whatever, but it's basically like Spanish and English or French or whatever. And if you're married to someone that's speaking a different love language, you're going to have all kind of conflict. And you actually may love each other a lot more than you realize. You're just speaking a different language. And so one of the ones is acts of service. Doing things for people, that's the way I express my love. And so when I'm trying to express my love to Erica, I'm cleaning the house and doing the laundry and doing the grass outside, washing the cars and vacuuming it out. Just a few weeks ago, I had just washed and detailed the car, and I came inside. She's like, why did you do that? Did that happen? We're still learning our languages. We're still learning. Because I love you. She's in the couch, sitting there. Because her language is quality time. She just wants to spend time with me. I'm like, you don't love me. You're doing nothing. You're just sitting there. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing anything? And so the problem is you're speaking different languages. Commit to learning and speaking. And we're getting a lot better at that. But commit to that. And then apologize first. Apologize quickly. Here's the last thing I really want to focus on. That's the fox wants to spoil your spiritual intentionality. Spiritual intentionality is so important. What it's saying is that our marriage, our relationship has to have Jesus in it. We cannot do this without Jesus. The fox that comes in and tries to eat away at that is the willful heart saying, we can do this on our own. We don't need help. We don't need counseling. We're going to do this. We've got this figured out. And I love that positive spirit and that strong spirit and all that. But we have to understand that we have got to have Jesus in our relationships. We have to have it. And so if that's the point, then we have to be intentional about having a spiritual component in our relationship. And God gives us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, a blueprint for relationship and for marriage. And it is beautiful. And you can't just cherry pick one verse out and claim it. You got to, from 21 to 24 and then 28 to 30, really 21 to 30, chapter 5 is golden. It says, and further, submit to what? This is so important. I don't want to read anything else until you get this part right here. Submit to one another. Submit to one another. Out of reverence for Christ. That's important. For wives, what does this mean? Well, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. That's very important. But there's another piece of the scripture that is equally important, and it has to be included, or that first part doesn't work. And it's verses 28 through 30. In the same way, equally as hard, equally as important, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. That's interesting. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. This is so important, this whole text. And this is new to you. If you haven't heard this kind of thing before, this is the biblical outline of marriage. It's the biblical formula for how it's going to work, how a man and a woman can live together in covenant and have a beautiful, beautiful God-ordained sacrament called marriage. It's a gorgeous thing. It's a beautiful thing. If you were to boil it down to two sentences, it would be this. A man trusts an honoring woman. A woman loves a sacrificial man. That's it right there. I want to encourage you women that maybe have forgotten this or not aware of this, but honor is like oxygen to a man's soul and spirit. To honor him, to honor your husband is so important to him. I know men are strong and tall and have all these things happening to look like, make the appearance that they're invincible and that they're strong and all that. But really, a man is super tender, like a twig, and can be crushed by one look. Right, men? One eye roll. But you're handsome. You're looking good. I like the way you did your hair. This is men, women talking to your man. Thank you for working that job and providing for us. Thank you for helping us by taking us to church on Sunday. whatever it is. We all have different roles. We're not going to be talking about, like, this is what a man does in a marriage. A man always fixes the car and a woman always cooks pancakes. That's not what we're talking about. Whatever you do in your relationship, whatever roles y'all got going on, honor it, love it, speak life into it, help one another. Then, men, if you will lay down your desires and your dreams and your plans, and you will sacrifice your life for your wife, man, she's going to be fired up about you. You know what happens when a woman is honoring a man and a man is sacrificing himself for a woman? You know what that's called? Dating. Right? That's what dating is all about. That's what pursuing is all about. And if you're not married yet, you don't understand that what happens usually after you say I do is that most people quit dating. They quit pursuing each other, and it's the old ball and chain. We're married. We're stuck. Ah, all that stuff. And this scripture is thrown out, or it's twisted to be selfish gain. And it's just so obvious that when we date, we're always doing something that we don't like because we want to impress someone else. We're opening doors for each other. We're going to movies that we don't like because the other person likes it. We're eating at restaurants that we don't like because the other person likes it. And we're sacrificing ourselves, and we're giving ourselves, and we're extending ourselves. And that's why it feels so good to date. Feels awesome. Feels like Valentine's Day when you're dating. Feels so good. And I want to encourage you, people that are here that have been married a few weeks, a few months, several decades, whatever it is, let's go back to what God is saying. Let's be intentionally spiritual about this. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. And let's let God breathe life into our marriages. We can pray together. Here's some ways to do that. Pray together. I want to encourage you, if you're dating someone and you're not sure about their spiritual journey, hey, let's pray for this meal. I like to just pray for this meal. Throw a little test out there, see what happens. If they freak out about that, that tells you something. If they just start going into King James or speaking in tongues, that tells you something. All right, now you know. Now you know. Okay. Read scripture together. There are so many devotionals for spouses, for family, for relationships, for friends. There's so many resources out there to read scripture together. But I'm just saying, Erica and I have just literally just read the Bible in the same room together, different passages, and not even an official devotional. Just she's reading something in the Old Testament, and I'm in the New Testament. We just sit there, and we're reading quietly, and then, hey, I have a question about this. What do you think? We'll just ask each other, and it's a beautiful thing. Use current issues to talk about spiritual issues. So, you know, the last few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, is when the tragedy happened with Kobe Bryant and his daughter, and it really shook us up because our kids are basketball fans, and I've been following basketball for a long time. But it really made us wake up and go, what if Dad dies next week? You know, are our kids prepared for that? Is Erica prepared for that? Do we have a will ready to go? We just never know what tomorrow holds. And so we need to be able to use any of these circumstances to have conversations and talk about it, be honest. I'm not ready for this. I'm not sure what I would do. And being honest and transparent with each other when these things happen so that we're not trying to put some sort of front out there or act like we have it all together. But being spiritually intentional means that we're not afraid to have conversations, and when we do, we're going to be open about it and have that conversation. And then, you know, be a part of a life-giving church. Connect to a church where there's other people going in the same direction. And I really want to encourage those of you that are single Texas State students or, you know, young adults that are starting their careers out. You use this time in San Marcos to learn, to get education, and to grow in that area. But I also want to encourage you to really dig in and find a place where you can glean from other people here at Promised Land. There are dozens and dozens of great people that can mentor you spiritually, help you. My mom leads a Tuesday morning prayer group for women at 6 a.m. And I know that's really early, but she, for the last 15 years, she's had that prayer group, and she has mentored so many college girls that just come to pray with her, and they go out to eat, and she just adopts them in. And that's just one example. There's many small groups that meet, whether it's family groups or women's groups or men's groups or exercise groups or whatever it is. Just find ways to connect in a life-giving church where people can speak to you. You can ask questions. They can ask you questions. You can keep one another accountable. Just really help in your relationship with God. So important. For those of you that are new, our mission here, we make it very simple, is to help people grow in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other, because both of those are important. Yes, Jesus Christ is super important. He saves you from your sin. He cleanses you from anything that's happening in your heart that's not of Him or not holy or whatever. He gives you eternal life. He helps you right now. But then we also need people. We need humans in our life to help us. And so I want you to know that Promised Land, where you're sitting right now, the people that you're a part of right here, right now, is fertile soil for the vineyard of your relationships. And we're going after foxes too, all right? Would you stand to your feet? And I want to pray with you right now. If you'll just stand with me and bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's pray together right now. Would you join with me? Nobody's looking around. Nobody, you know, is worried about anything else. We're about to dismiss. We're all going to leave. But before we do, I want us to have a moment with God right here. This is a special place, a special moment. And you never know. You never know how many more of these you're going to have. So let's make it special right now. I want to ask Erica to come up. And if you're married and you're standing beside someone that you're married to, why don't you take them by the hand? If you're engaged or, you know, in a relationship with somebody where you're about to be engaged or engaged, why don't you take them by the hand? If you're standing by a stranger, don't take them by the hand right now, because they are going to get really nervous, okay? God's in this moment, and He's here, and He's real, and He wants to help you. There's some people that your marriages are just hanging on by a thread, and you're not sure if you're going to make it through the end of the year. In fact, divorce rates are up in January and February more than any other time of the year, because you got through the holidays, and now you're just done. So if you're in that category, I want to just speak life into your relationship and say, Jesus is better and Jesus is bigger than any infidelity, any brokenness, any heartache, any trouble, any cheating, any stealing, any lying, any selfishness, any pride, any harsh words or cursing or fighting. God is so much better. He's going to come bring peace and rest into your relationship. If there's people in here today that they're just maybe don't even have a personal relationship with God, today's the day. This is the moment right here. We're going to surrender our heart to Jesus Christ and submit our relationships to Him. Would you join with me in prayer right now? And you can say these exact words, or you can say, you know, whatever own words you want to say. But just say, Jesus, I want to be with You. Jesus, I want to be with You. I give You my life today, Jesus. I know that my life is going to be better when I'm better. And the only way I'm better is You. So come into my life, Jesus. I welcome You today. Please forgive me of my sin. There's so many things that I know about. There's things that I forgot about. There's things that I'm calloused to. Please forgive me. Help me. I need You, Jesus. Please forgive me of my sin. I trust in You, Jesus. I believe in You. You're the way for me. You're my salvation, Jesus. I believe in You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now let's pray for our hearts right now, our relationships. God, I pray for Erica right now, believing that you're going to solidify our marriage, our relationship. God, the things that are between us, Lord, I pray you would be in the middle. God, take over, take control. In Jesus' name, God, we are going to be against the national average of the divorce rate. We're going to be a holy matrimony. We're going to be a holy union because, God, you are going to make all the difference. There's people in the congregation today that are struggling with a broken heart or a longing heart. God, I pray that you satisfy them. I pray that they find strength in knowing that they don't need a person, they don't need someone else to bring fulfillment in their life, God, but you are the one that makes that happen. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yeah. I want to say this one thing before we dismiss, and that is it. If you need help in your marriage, you've got something going on, you need advice, you want answers about the church, you have questions about Promised Land, there are cards in the seat back in front of you called connection cards. You can take that card out, fill it out, and drop it off in the box as you leave. There's black boxes in the foyer as you leave. Just slip it into that box. You can also text the word next to the number that you see on the screen. It's the same process. It will be a digital version of that if you want to be a digital version. But if you want to just fill out that card, we would love to pray for you this week, offer you help, answer questions that you may have on your faith journey or in your journey to find a local church. So we love you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you here next Sunday.